This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. I'm very happy today that I have two wonderful guests. My first guest is Brad Meltzer, and I will be talking to him about his latest books. Later on, I will talk to Clearwater's mayor, George Kratakis, about the books that have influenced his life. And as a reminder, today is August 4th, and the book called The Looney Experiment, written by Luke Reynolds, was released today. I had the pleasure of having Luke on my program last week, and he is such a wonderful, wonderful writer, a seventh grade teacher who has written a book that I think you will truly enjoy. I know it's probably going to be marketed toward young people, and it is about a young man named Atticus Hobart. And, of course, the name is based on the character Atticus Finch from To Kill a Mockingbird. But it's more than a book for young people. It is a book, really, that all parents should read. It's a book of courage, and it's a book of hope, and mostly it's a book about what it means to have a wonderful teacher in your life. And I can tell you that Luke Reynolds, who's the seventh grade teacher, has filled his book with all the joy that he feels for his students. And if you really want a great summer read for yourself and for your any kid in your life, get this book today. It's called The Looney Experiment. It's available on Amazon, and it was released today. Now, I'm also very happy to be interviewing Brad Meltzer about his book. I'm going to be talking basically today about his one of his children's books. He's written a wonderful series of children's books that are designed to encourage children to be brave and to work outside the box and not be afraid of being themselves. And so I'm going to talk to him about that book. And of course, I hope I get a chance to mention his latest thriller. And this is a wonderful book. If you're looking for another great summer read, something to take to the beach or to the park or sitting under a tree, you have to read The President's Shadow. It's a wonderful book. And I just the opening. I hope he will talk about the opening, which is sort of an unusual opening for a book, and I think you will really enjoy it. So that's Brad Meltzer's President Shadow. Also, before I bring him on, I'll have to take a short break. I just want to mention why I like Brad Meltzer so much. You know, I'm involved with a lot of veterans, and primarily with the Forgotten Warrior Project, which is a project to honor F-105 pilots and the ground crews. And what I love about Brad is that he is a great supporter of our military. And I know that shortly after 9/11, he became involved in donating books to the USO. And I think within a very short period of time after that, he was getting books from all the publishers he knew and pulling all the strings he knew. And within a very short time, he had 40,000 books that he donated to the military through the USO. And he is done so much for the military. I know that they really enjoy when he comes out to visit them. He goes out to the bases. He talks to them, and he brings his books bring a lot of joy to people. You know, all of the young men and women out there in such difficult areas, and his books take them away for a few hours from all of this tragedy and danger that they're living in. And so I know that they really appreciate his work, and I really appreciate Brad for this type of work, and all writers who do this. And Brad has a wonderful webpage. It's probably one of the best writers' webpage. Of course, he also has his television show. So if you are interested in learning more about Brad's work with the USO or with any of his other programs, I just love his history program, and you really should try out and go to his webpage. Now, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, I'm going to be interviewing Brad Meltzer.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
Are you looking for the perfect gift? Going to a wedding? A special birthday? The Silver Queen is the place to go. Don't settle for the ordinary. At the Silver Queen, you will find a unique gift. Things that you won't find at the mall. From beautiful photo frames to silver and china. Guys, looking for that perfect ring? You'll find it at the Silver Queen. And don't forget their bridal registry. Located at 1350 West Bay Drive in Largo. Visit their website, silverqueen.com. They have some wonderful coupons. And when you go to the store, tell them that Patsy with a Z sent you.
Some people don't believe in mermaids. Hope that's not you, because they exist at Wickiwatchee Springs State Park off US 19 and State Road 50, just north of Spring Hill. Since 1947, the magic of the mermaids have been entertaining visitors at the 538-acre Springs Park. Come and watch in the 400-seat submerged theater, The Little Mermaid Show at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. daily. Wickiwatchee State Park offers mermaid shows, reptile shows, boat tours, and swimming in the pristine spring at Buccaneer Bay. Wickiwatchee State Park is a perfect backdrop for wedding receptions, birthday parties, picnics, meetings, retreats, family reunions, or just to relax on the white sandy beach. Step back in time when things were much simpler and enjoyable. Spend the day at an original theme park. Call 352-592-5656 or log on to wickiwatchee.com for upcoming events, hours, and ticket pricing. Wickiwatchee Springs State Park, where mermaids do exist.
The City of Dunedin introduces baseball done our way. Start with a morning on our pristine beaches. Next, off to downtown for some unique shopping. Then a bit of lunch at one of our many award-winning restaurants. And now, time for an afternoon game at Florida Auto Exchange Stadium. Finish the day off with a sunset cruise on the Gulf. A day in Dunedin. A day done our way. For more information, go to dunedingov.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for everyone who loves the great book. My name is Patsy Gill. If you're looking for a great summer reading, you must read Brad Meltzer's latest bestseller, The President's Shadow. And don't forget the kids. They need a good book, too. Brad has written a wonderful series for children about ordinary people who change the world. His latest is I Am Lucille Ball. Hello, Brad. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, great. Thanks so much for joining me. You know, as a homeschool mom for many years, I was always looking for books to inspire my children. And you certainly have written some really great books to inspire children.
I appreciate, you know, these books came about because I was tired of my own kids looking at reality TV show stars and loudmouth athletes and thinking that that's a hero. And I tell my kids all the time, that's fame. And being famous is very different than being a hero. So we started with this historical biography series. There's no one that was doing anything for young kids like this. You know, starting from ages like, you know, people buying for baby gifts, but also, you know, ages three, four, up to, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old. We started with I'm Amelia Earhart, I'm Abraham Lincoln, we did I am Rosa Parks, I am Jackie Robinson, I am Albert Einstein, and now we're finally launching I am Lucille Ball, which is our newest one.
Well, your books are wonderful, and I love the way that you've done them as sort of comic book style, and it's really, I think, great for children. As a matter of fact, I learned to read from comic books.
Of course you did. Those are the first books we all read when we're kids. You know, that's why those stories are so important to us. And it's the same theme of the series. I write Superman and Batman. And to me, the most important part of the story is not Superman. The most important part of the story is Clark Kent. And you want to know why? Because we're all Clark Kent. And we all know what it's like to be boring and ordinary and wish we could do something incredibly beyond ourselves. And that's the message in every one of these books. When I did I Am Lucille Ball, people said, why are you doing Lucy? And I said, I want my daughter to have a female entertainment hero who isn't just famous for being thin and pretty. Lucille Ball doesn't just stand for the idea that it's okay to be different. She stands for the idea it's fantastic to be different. She stands for the idea that, you know, here's a woman who was the first woman to run her own studio in Hollywood. She produced TV shows like Star Trek and Mission Impossible. I want my daughter to have a strong female hero like that. And that's where I Am Lucille Ball opens up as the story of her life.
And it is, and your books are inspiring, and that's so important. You know, I love I Am Jackie Robinson because I'm a big baseball fan, but it's important to show how ordinary people can do extraordinary things, and you've done that with your series.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, I appreciate you saying that. I love the I Am Jackie Robinson book, my son, that one I wrote for my son. But one of the things you see in there, and I Am Lucille Ball, is that they're not just, you know, we show you not just when they're famous. Like, yes, we show you the chocolate factory conveyor belt scene. We show you with the TV show. But we also show you what happened when these people were little and what the hardships they had to go through. So you see Lucille Ball, when she was a little girl, used to live with a grandmother who was just really rough and basically, you know, used to cover up every mirror in the house except for the bathroom ones because she thought it would lead to vanity. She had a really hard childhood, and Lucille Ball used to make funny faces in her reflection in trolley car windows. And I love that lesson that when you're going through hardship in life, that your sense of humor can really help you through it. I love that lesson that humor can take on anything. I want my daughter to learn that lesson, and that's why every one of the books has a moral lesson that comes with it. So Jackie Robinson's was, you know, he will always lead the way. You got to lead the way. And Albert Einstein was, yeah, you must be curious. And Abraham Lincoln's was a very simple message of, you know, you have to stand up for others. And the same with Lucille Ball. We want each book to have a lesson that you can give your kids. And the goal is never just about one book. We're doing I Am, in September we're doing I Am Helen Keller, then we're doing I Am Martin Luther King Jr. But the goal is not one or two books. It's to help you build a library of real heroes for your kids and your grandkids and your nieces and your nephews. And that is the real goal with this series.
Well, you must be having lots of fun. I know that you love to do research, and I know that from your wonderful character of your series, Beecher White, who is a researcher at the National Archives, which is like my dream job. You know, I just, the idea of being able to walk around the National Archives is like, I can't think of anything more thrilling. Do they actually let you walk around the National Archives when you're doing these books?
They have. They've been so nice to me there. You know, the new book, as you mentioned, is The President's Shadow, is the new thriller. And I write kids' books, but I also write mysteries. And thrillers.
Oh, so you write the best mysteries.
I appreciate it. So the President's, let's talk about it for a moment. The President's Shadow opens up with a very, let's ruin the first chapter. Chapter one opens with the first ladies in the White House Rose Garden. And it's 5 o'clock in the morning when she can be alone there and just do her gardening. And she puts her hands into the dirt and she smells the mulch. And out of the dirt she finds and pulls a severed arm. And she has no idea how it got there. She doesn't know how it got past security. She doesn't know that in the fist of that arm that there is a puzzle that needs to be solved. But that's where the chapter opens. And then I go to the Secret Service and I can make up whatever I want, right? It's fiction, it's a mystery. But I go to the Secret Service and I say, what would you do in real life? And the Secret Service said to me, the first thing I would do is I would redecorate a room at the White House. I said, what are you talking about? They said, if we found the severed arm there, I'd pull some wallpaper off one wall, I'd put some paint on another, I'd move the first family then out of the White House and move them out for a couple of days. Now I can do a real investigation, and no one will be the wiser, and no one will know what's going on, and the press won't know. And I said, that sounds like something you've done before. And they said to me, Brad, think of it this way. Bill Clinton, George Bush, and Barack Obama have all redecorated rooms while they were president. You wouldn't believe what's been done here in the name of home renovation.
And I
was like, thank you for chapter 2 and chapter 3 and chapter 4.
it definitely doesn't ruin the book. It makes it, well, for those who haven't had the joy of reading it, even more exciting to rush to Amazon and order it. And I as I said, I love Beecher White, the whole what you've done of developing him as a character is fantastic. So you love to do research, and of course he loves to do research. What was the most surprising thing that you've discovered so far in your research for the children's books?
I think it's just those moments when they're little. It's those moments when they're younger. You know, I found out this amazing story about Abraham Lincoln, that when Abraham Lincoln was 10 years old, he used to love animals. And he came upon a group of boys who were playing with turtles. He's like, I love turtles. Race is over. And he sees they're not playing with the turtles. They're putting hot coals on the backs of the turtles. They're torturing the turtles. And in that moment, Abraham Lincoln has to decide what to do. And I don't care if you're 10 years old or 60 years old. Sometimes it's hard to do the right thing. But someone has to. And Abraham Lincoln stands up to those bullies and says, take the coals off the turtles, or whatever he says to them. And when I read that story to my son in I Am Abraham Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln is one of the heroes that my son loves now. He's a real hero to him. And that's the goal of the book, is to give, you know, we're a country right now starving for heroes. We need good heroes. We need to give our kids these heroes. And I love when I can find a lesson like that.
And it is so true. This is such a difficult time, and I know that you, well, of course, with your history series, you've been, you know, very involved in doing Lost History. You're the host of Lost History, so you're looking always for those pieces of history that you know, try to make sense of what happened in the past. And
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you know, I love history. And one of the things I've always told people, it's so important what you're doing, talking about ordinary people. I'm working on a project called Forgotten F-105 Warriors, a story about the F-105 pilots. Now, of the Vietnam War. And now most people, you know, when they're writing a story about the pilots, they write about the pilots. But for me, what I've done is I've gone back and I've interviewed and I collect the stories of the ground crews. Because the pilots all say the same thing. We couldn't have done it. You know, we're the ones who got all the credit. But we couldn't have done what we did. We couldn't be the great heroes of, you know, great F-105 pilots if we didn't have fantastic ground crews. And most of those guys were young. They were like 20 years old working in unbelievable circumstances. And I want to tell their stories as much because they are inspiring.
Yeah, no, listen, and that, but again, you're teaching about, you know, that's my core belief, whether I'm writing the thrillers, whether I'm doing the TV show on the History Channel, whether I'm doing these kids' books, it's my core belief. I believe ordinary people change the world. I don't care where you went to school. I don't care how much money you make. I believe in regular people and their ability to affect change in this world. And it's why I believe in a little girl named Lucille Ball and why I believe in a little boy named Abraham Lincoln when he's 10 years old.
And
it's the best lesson of every book. No one's born a hero.
Exactly.
We're all born the same.
Exactly.
The question is, what do you do when you're here? And Lucille Ball was rejected at all the acting studios, at the dance studios. They used to tell her, they would make fun of her Midwestern accent, and they would tell her, can't you be more like your classmate Betty Davis? But Lucille Ball never gave up, never stopped going, and I want my daughter to hear that lesson. It's a lesson that is vital. It's not about being famous. It's about just being human.
Every time I think of her being rejected at dance schools, I think of that wonderful segment where she's studying ballet in her I Love Lucy series. And it's just, even today, you laugh when you remember that scene. You're right. You know, she was fantastic. She didn't give up. And all of these people that you write about just did their best. And that's so important, you know. for children to learn that they can step forward like Abraham Lincoln, and they can be brave, and they can, you know, overcome all of the things that people throw at them that are negative.
Yep. No, that's right. That's right. And to me, you need to be able to do that. Every person is what they have in common. They all overcame hardship. And all of us in life overcame. We all have our stories, right? That's our own history. And we all know there's someone out there who took a chance on us, who gave us our first job, who helped us along the way. To me, it's vital we say thank you to those people. It's vital that we always feature them. And that, to me, in a strange way, this is where I get to thank all the heroes who I knew in my life, like Lucille Ball. And wait till you see the Helen Keller book. It's just incredible. You know, when Helen Keller goes blind and I am Helen Keller, the two pages are black, just black.
Oh, wow.
And they say, this is how I see the world. Now cover your ears. Here's how I hear the world. And to me, I love that. I really love that we get to show that and let kids experience it. We also, even when she learns to read, we put real Braille into the book. And you touch the Braille and it says, feel these dots. This is my name. My name is Helen. What's your name? And then you can find on the opposite page your kids and your grandkids and nieces and nephews can touch the dots and find their name on the Braille alphabet. And to me, that's just vital that we can bring her back to life for everyone.
Oh, it sends chills up me. It sounds so dramatic, and I will look forward to that one. Now, let's talk just briefly about your greatest hero, about Ben Rubin.
Ah, you know me well. So to me... my grandfather was named Ben Rubin, and
where was he from?
When I was little, he was from Brooklyn, New York. He always wanted to be a cop, but he had flat feet, and they wouldn't let him walk the beat for that. And so, but he was my first hero beyond my parents because he used to tell me stories when I was little. He used to tell me this Batman story that used to go like this: Batman and Robin were in the Batmobile, and they were in a white van. And they were on the side of a cliff, and every day, and then the Batman and Robin would catch up to the white van, which had the Joker, the Penguin, the Riddler, and Catwoman inside it, and then they would catch him. And I would say, tell him again. And he would say, Batman and Robin are in the Batmobile. And he would tell me this story that had like 30 words in it, 500 times in a row. I love this story. And that, to me, is what a hero is. The definition of a hero is you got to help someone. And that was the first storyteller who just over and over did something that was for me, not for him. He told me this story and changed my life as a storyteller.
And certainly got you interested in comic books.
listen, I found my guy. I loved comic books. He knew I loved comic books. My dad used to always very kindly, I think would have rather been buying baseballs, but always bought me comic books instead. And my mom encouraged me as well. So I have been lucky to have many heroes in my life. There were Ben Rubin. In fact, when I wrote my first thriller, The Tenth Justice, the main hero was named Ben, and it was in honor of my grandfather.
Well, I think that, you know, it's so important. I don't know, how old were you when you were reading, by the time you were reading?
I was actually reading really young. I was trying to actually figure it out. I could see that one of my favorite comics that I ever read was when I was 7. So clearly I was reading before then, but that's when I was reading full-on comic books. So obviously before then, but that's when I remember just consuming them like crazy.
Well, I as I said, I really learned to read from the comic books. I had an older sister, of course, who was reading, you know, Archie and Veronica comic books. And I would just, she'd just read and, you know, run her finger along the words. And so I didn't actually... you know, have to wait to go to school to read. I just learned from following along as she would read to me her comic books. And I don't remember a time not being able to read. So, you know, it opens such a world to you when you can read young. And one thing I'm happy, I mean, I love that, as I said, I was a homeschool mom, and so that you've written these wonderful and inspirational books for, you know, the younger children to get them reading at a young age. I think that's so important.
Yep, absolutely. I'm with you 100%. And I appreciate that. Thank you for taking the time. I know they have me running to all these different interviews, but I so appreciate you. You know, one of the things that's been so terrific is watching people who are doing homeschooling, people who are librarians and educators who are embracing these books. We've had people buy stacks of them. one of each one, and they're gifting them not just to their own kids and not just as baby gifts and things like that and for little kids, but buying them and donating them to libraries and to homeless shelters, people have told me, and it's just amazing so that other kids can have these heroes in their lives. So thank you for spreading the word.
Okay, well, it's my joy, and it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, and I hope to have you back on when you have your next big bestseller book out.
I appreciate it. Thank you so
much. Okay, thanks so much, Brad. Bye-bye now.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
Are you looking for the perfect gift? Going to a wedding? A special birthday? The Silver Queen is the place to go. Don't settle for the ordinary. At the Silver Queen, you will find a unique gift. Things that you won't find at the mall. From beautiful photo frames to silver and china. Guys, looking for that perfect ring? You'll find it at the Silver Queen. And don't forget their bridal registry. Located at 1350 West Bay Drive in Largo. Visit their website, silverqueen.com. They have some wonderful coupons. And when you go to the store, tell them that Patsy with a Z sent you.
Some people don't believe in mermaids. Hope that's not you, because they exist at Wickiwatchee Springs State Park off US 19 and State Road 50, just north of Spring Hill. Since 1947, the magic of the mermaids have been entertaining visitors at the 538-acre Springs Park. Come and watch in the 400-seat submerged theater, The Little Mermaid Show at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. daily. Wickiwatchee State Park offers mermaid shows, reptile shows, boat tours, and swimming in the pristine spring at Buccaneer Bay. Wickiwatchee State Park is a perfect backdrop for wedding receptions, birthday parties, picnics, meetings, retreats, family reunions, or just to relax on the white sandy beach. Step back in time when things were much simpler and enjoyable. Spend the day at an original theme park. Call 352-592-5656 or log on to wickiwatchee.com for upcoming events, hours, and ticket pricing. Wickiwatchee Springs State Park, where mermaids do exist.
Hi, it's Sawyer from the Dolphin Tale movies. Now is the perfect time to visit the world-famous Clearwater Marine Aquarium. Millions have seen us around the world, and now you can experience what we do in person. Come and reconnect with Winter and her fun-loving movie co-stars, Hope, Mavis, and yes, that crazy bird, Rufus. Immerse yourself into the world of marine life rescue with the behind-the-scenes tour. Explore the film sets, and don't miss our free boating adventure. Save time in line when you buy tickets at seawinter.com. Kids only $16.95.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with my guest, George Kretikos. I think I pronounced that right. He is the mayor of Clearwater. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for being here, and yes, you did.
Okay, well, I'm glad I got that right. It's so nice to have you, and the sun is shining out here in Clearwater, and we had a few days here of bad weather, but I see that everything
now,
is...
No. The sun always shines in Clearwater.
You know, that is actually true. We have what everybody calls the Chamber of Commerce weather.
And except for the mayor, and he calls it the mayor's weather.
Oh, the mayor's weather. Okay, I've been corrected by the man himself. Well, it is the mayor's weather, and we're so lucky that we are here in Clearwater. I was talking to somebody over the weekend, and they had gone to someplace on the East Coast, and then they had gone to some islands, and they came back, and they said, you know, there is nothing like the beaches we have here in Clearwater. They're so glorious, our beach is so wonderful.
You're absolutely correct, Patsy. You know, the USA Today did a poll, and we were named the best beach town in Florida. We were named the best place to watch a sunset in the United States. Our sugar sand is really incomparable. You know, there may be a few places that have something similar, but we're blessed.
Exactly. As I said, this friend who travels a lot and has been to beaches all over the world, and he says every time he comes back, he just is so happy here. And I think it's the best place to read a good book.
You can't beat taking a book to the beach. Reading is so important, you know. We sometimes take it for granted, especially in today's world with cell phones and computers and internet access. But I'm still old-fashioned. I still like to turn the pages, be it a book or a magazine.
It is. It is so much fun. And I was encouraging people earlier there. I've been lucky. I've interviewed some wonderful authors, and I just finished interviewing Brad Meltzer, and he has, you know, his wonderful, his summer thriller out, and it's just so relaxing to take a book out there to the beach, get under the umbrella, and just with a nice cool drink and read all day and forget the cell phones and forget everything else.
It's an escape, but it opens up a whole new world that we tend to forget.
Exactly. It is so good for you really to get out of yourself and to get into another world, whether it's a thriller and you learn about places, learn about, exciting events. Or we had recently in Tampa a few months ago, we had the Beach Babes Book Blast, which I said to them, you know, it was held in Tampa, but really that Beach Babes Book Blast should be right here in Clearwater, because it was wonderful. They brought out all the romance writers.
Right.
And so that's what I'm trying to do, is encourage people to come to Clearwater, get on that beach and read all day long and have just a wonderful time here.
And don't forget the sunscreen if you're going to read all day
that's
long.
That's right. Don't forget the sunscreen. That's important. And this is the ideal place for it. Now, I know that you are, of course, encourage reading, and you visit schools to encourage reading.
Yes, I do. In fact, one of the best programs that we have here in, really not only in Clearwater but all of Pinellas County, the school board has promoted Dr. Seuss. And on his birthday in March every year, I go to Eisenhower Elementary, at least Eisenhower, and I try to schedule a couple of other schools, if possible, to read to the children, because, you know, that is an author with characters that people get excited about. And even this past weekend, I was on a road trip with some family, and we put on a Dr. Seuss movie to keep the kids entertained while we were in the car. And it just brings back memories of when we were that age, innocent, anxious to learn, anxious to experience different things that we had heard about, but maybe couldn't quite put our hands on. And what I like about Dr. Seuss, and also probably my most favorite, and you're going to laugh at me, is Charlotte's Web. They just inspire you. And I think back to my time in school and all the reading that we were doing in elementary school, at home, because I spoke Greek before I spoke English, so my parents were insistent that I, learn the both languages, although I don't speak Greek very well now, to do well in school, and by reading, that was how we did it. And some of those phrases and the stories and the characters are still with me. And it's sort of refreshing, if I could use that word, to have that kind of an experience and be able to carry that with you. Because a lot of times we get depressed with work. We get frustrated with work. We get frustrated with traffic, last week when we had all that rain. So a good book helps you forget also.
That's true, absolutely. And one of my little projects is that I'm starting. It's called Drive to Read, and to encourage parents to give their children books in the car. I know they give them games, but really, it doesn't replace books. Books open your mind, and they really help to form the mind. If a child reads a book, I know I was very lucky. I had two children who started reading when, I think before they could talk.
Uh-huh.
And it was so wonderful. I never had any problems with them.
Yeah.
All I had to do is give them a book, and
they that was never, it. That, exactly.
And particularly when they started the Hardy Boys.
Ah.
Never. Yeah. I never heard a peep from them. Yeah. It was never stop and get me anything. I'd have to force them to say, we're going to stop for a while, because they would be, you can't interrupt a Hardy Boy.
Right.
They were 5 and 6 years old and reading Hardy Boys in the back seat, and it was a joy to travel with them.
and it's a great foundation to have, absolutely.
Absolutely. And so good for the mind, and so much better than those little handheld devices that they're tending to play with too much, I think. So I really encourage everyone to drive to read, give their kids books, and I'm getting a lot of books from publishers, and I'm donating them to people for their children.
Terrific.
Exactly, because this is what they need to do. Now, I want to play just a little song for you, and I think you'll like it. And then... Now, that's the great Maria Callas.
I was going to say, it sounds like opera.
And it's Maria Callas, and I played it for a reason. I understand that you're distantly related to her.
We are. Let's see if I get this right. My grandparents were first cousins with Maria Callas' parents. So that made us... Second cousins, I guess, and my dad and his two brothers and sisters, and one sister, grew up in Tarpon Springs, as we all did. But Daddy was born in the house that we lived in, and Maria Callas used to come to that house in Tarpon to visit and especially play with my aunt, because they were of the same age. So it was one of those neat stories that we have.
Well, that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
People really, that's an amazing thing to know about you. Of course, Maria Callas is, she was my favorite opera singer. And I love the opera. I don't know if you've read any of the books written about her, but she was certainly a fascinating person.
She was a very fascinating individual who gave of herself to the world.
Exactly. And so... So it was exciting that. So you saw her when you were young?
No, I missed out on that. I heard her. I went to see her perform one time when I was in Washington, and she was performing at DAR Hall, Constitution Hall in D.C. And after her performance, I was able to get backstage just for a brief,
moment.
Hello. She was a diva, and it was real hard to get any time with her, but at least we exchanged hugs and pleasantries.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah, it was sort of exciting when I got home back to my apartment, and I called my aunt, because Thea Helen and Maria Callas were very close because of the age, much more so than my dad and my two uncles. So it made Thea Helen, really happy that I was able to do that.
Oh, well, that's nice. That's a nice story.
Yeah.
I think it's always, one of the reasons I'm inviting community leaders and politicians. I'm going to have on the program, I'm going to have, in September, I'm having Representative Jolly on.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to have somebody from the Lightnings and somebody from the Rays. And I think it's important that people be encouraged to read and to understand that everybody reads. You know, if you want to know more, if you want to learn more, and if you want to get ahead in life, it's important that you read. And so that's why I'm encouraging people to read.
You have to do that. And sometimes, you know, as we had said when we got started earlier, we all do a lot of reading. Yeah, it's in different forms, but mainly now I think it's on the computer and on your handheld device. Yeah, but it still can't compare to getting a book, whether it's now, I guess, on your Kindle or your device, and reading a book and just, as we had said, escaping, because sometimes we get overwhelmed with a reading material at work. Or trying,
well, especially to, you.
But all of us.
I imagine you must get so much that it's unbelievable. Yeah,
we do. It's amazing how many different publications we receive, and you honestly don't have enough time to read them all. You skim them. You try to see if there's an article that might pertain or that there's a community interest in, and try to go from there. But obviously, everybody has his own niche, and he tries to stay on top of that. But again, a book, the kind of reading that we're talking about, helps challenge you. It helps expand your mind. It helps you understand, what else is going on, not only in the world, but what other people are thinking about. And again, it serves as an inspiration. I'm going to go back to my Dr. Seuss and to Charlotte's Web, and those are books that continue to inspire, and other readings that you do, whether it's a play from Shakespeare or the Greek Homer. It's amazing how in the course of my life something happens and I think of a quote from one of these books that I have read years ago, that just all of a sudden a light goes off. You say, oh my gosh, this person or this character reminds me of this individual.
Yeah, it's amazing, and it's wonderful. It's like building blocks. You add, every time you add a book to your repertoire, it helps your mind, it expands your mind, and you never know where it's going to take you.
Correct.
So I was looking at one book, and I was thinking it was an appropriate book for you, and it's called If Mayors Ruled the World.
I would be a benevolent dictator.
Because the author, Benjamin Barber, wrote this book, and he says, if mayors rule the world, mayors have such a wide range of things that you have to do.
Well, not only that, a local official, be it a mayor, a council member, a school board member, we're right here in the community. We can't escape to Tallahassee, or we can't escape to Washington. We live and work and play 7 days a week, 24 hours a day in our community. When we go out to a restaurant or the shopping mall or the grocery store, like any other elected official, we see constituents. But sometimes somebody who is a state representative, state senator, a governor, a senator, in Washington doesn't stay here all the time because of his work in the respective state capitals. So I think that's the message behind that book, because we tend to get to know people maybe a little more realistically than somebody who isn't working in the community.
And you see the results of your work or your
Lack of your work.
Exactly. Because if You don't have the streets cleaned. You actually see that the streets
aren't
clean.
And if the garbage isn't picked up, you know, we hear about that. You know, with all the flooding or all the rain that we had, there was, pockets of flooding, in Clearwater and in other communities. And one of the things that we had to caution people is that, when you throw trash and litter, that trash ends up in the road. It ends up blocking a storm sewer, and it causes problems for the environment. It causes street flooding if the water can't drain properly. So we all have a responsibility, even though we don't realize it sometimes. And we hear about those problems almost at once.
Yeah, I think that's true. Now, you were with Representative Young for many years.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And then you became a mayor. And you're one of the few Republicans who's not going to be on Thursday night.
Oh, yeah. not running for president.
Not running for president. I mean, it's like everyone else is.
It seems like there is a lot of candidates, at least on the Republican side, and who knows what may happen on the Democratic side.
Well, it looks like they're adding up to it.
They may add a couple more, before all this is over, which is, it's sort of interesting to see that on the national side, because more often than not, you just have a couple of people running, for national office. So it will give the public a lot of choices this year. We just have to be careful that we don't get caught up with the sound bites and the catchy little phrases that's tends to happen in today's world.
Well, you've been involved in politics a long time. What was your first convention that you went to?
I went to the 1968 convention in Miami Beach. I was a student at American University for a semester, and one of the requirements while we were going to school there was to do volunteer work in a government office. So I went to the then congressman's office, Bill Cramer, who by chance was going to be the chairman of the convention committee. So that summer I was working in my grandmother's store on the sponge docks in Tarpon, and I got a phone call from Mr. Cramer's office in Washington wanting to know if I wanted to go to the Republican convention in, Miami. And, it didn't take me long to say yes, but I said, well, let me check. I mean, in my mind, it didn't take me long to say yes, but I was working and I wanted to make sure that I could get off.
Grandma, give you some time off here.
Well, but the real point was that I hadn't registered to vote yet, and my family was Democrat, and so I had to call. I called Mom and Dad, and I said, Mr. Cramer's office just called, and they said, did I want to go to the convention? But I can't go to the convention if I register as, a Democrat. That won't be right. So I'll have to register as a Republican. And, Mom and Dad, both of them almost simultaneously said, well, we don't vote for the party. We vote for the candidate.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And so I said, okay. I said, but so it's okay if I go register as a Republican and go to the convention. And they said, yes, And I went, and it was just so I mean, conventions aren't the same now. They're much more orchestrated than they were back then. I went to every session. I remember sitting next to O. Sanford Jasper, who was our tax collector for many, many years here in Pinellas County, because his wife was a delegate. And I got to that's where I met Congressman Young. He was a state senator at the time, and that was the first time that I met him. And that relationship continued, after Mr. Cramer ran for the Senate and Mr. Young ran for Mr. Cramer's seat. And that's when I started working.
The start of a fascinating career.
A blessed career.
Absolutely. And to be the mayor of really, I think, the most wonderful city in America. I've lived all over the place. I was raised in Detroit. Uh-huh. So I know a beautiful city when I see it.
And well, thank you. It's having grown up in Tarpon Springs, I remember coming to Clearwater as a kid and saying, gosh, Clearwater is the place that I want to live when I grow up.
You're right. It's a perfect place. And of course, speaking of Tarpon Springs, I just want to mention your grandfather's boat is still in Tarpon Springs or not?
Well, what it was there's sponge boats in Tarpon, and my uncle, my uncle's son-in-law wanted to become a sponge diver. So Uncle Stal bought a sponge boat, and he named it after my grandfather. It has since been sold and renamed, but there's still some brochures and postcards around that has the George N. Cruticus on it.
Did you ever sponge dive yourself?
No, I have a tendency of getting not seasick, but uncomfortable on the water. So I just like to look at it.
Yeah, so do I. I'm not a great sailor. But I always love to look at the sponge boats up.
Yeah,
up there.
Yeah. It's a very tough life. People don't realize how hard it was how hard it is to go out and dive for sponges.
And all of the Greek families up there worked very hard. And I know everyone is very proud of you, and I want to thank you so much for coming in today to talk to me and to encourage people to read. And, that I really appreciate.
Well, no, I appreciate the opportunity, and thank you for the message that you're trying to get out to your listeners and our entire community.
And I'm telling all of the authors that I talk to, all the authors up in New York, I tell them they have to come down here for inspiration and to rest and relax on our wonderful beaches.
That would be fantastic.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
So I want to thank everyone for joining me today, and this is Patsy with a Z. Remember, it's summertime, and that means you need to read. And so pick up a book and head out to the beach and make sure that if you have a story to tell, you start writing yourself, because there's a book in everybody. The mayor has to write his memoirs pretty soon and tell us all about his fascinating life, because he's had a great and a fascinating life. And so I want to thank everyone. Remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken on stage or screen. So join me next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for Joy on Paper. Meanwhile, remember, don't let anyone steal your joy. Treasure it and share it. Have a great week.